WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road, plus igniteglassandgifts.com.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
We need a fun listener name, something the followers of the show can call themselves. I thought, how about Couch Potatoes?
Potatoes?
I said it as a joke, and Todd cracked up. He goes, I love that. Whatever it is, folks, embrace your inner couch potato. We are not meant to work in the farms and hunt food. We were 1,000 years ago. But now, I think God wants us to sit back and be entertained.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That's a wrap on minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Packers completed their three-day minicamp. Linebacker Quay Walker unable to practice. He suffered an ankle injury at the end of last season. Matt LaFleur presenting Mark Murphy, an autographed helmet signed by all the players. Murphy stepping down after 17 years as team president. The NBA Finals continue tonight. The Pacers up 2-1 over the Thunder, led by Tyrese Halliburton.
Experience is the best way that I can learn from it. You know, taking what the defense gives me, trying to play the right way, and watch film, see I can get better and be ready to go for game four.
Baseball, Brewers and Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. The Crew winning 6-0 last night in the series opener, but pitcher Aaron Civale not happy about being moved to the bullpen, says he called his agent about being traded.
We're exploring opportunities for me to get back into a rotation, whether that's here or elsewhere. That'll give me the chance to do what I do best, and that's go out there and start. Like I said, I still feel like I have a lot to give.
That's Aaron Civale with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals one TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray shower and a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, warmer, highs upper 70s to around 80 with a slight chance of storms. And isolated storms possible Sunday, high 80 to the low 80s. Currently at 68.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Tiffany Hobbs from KFI Radio in Los Angeles.
And we'll find out if the U.S. is going to have a king or not.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and hey, we discuss local, national, Native news events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or use the acronym NACD. They're on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
They do such a great job, Wendy, and mm-hmm. we're very happy to partner with them over the years and absolutely. Have Robert Lilligren on Thursdays and with the great insight of what's happening local and nationally. So we're truly blessed for that. Hey, we got today's Friday. It's icky out and it's cold here in Minnesota. It's like, what the heck? The heck's going on? Well, tomorrow we have the 5051 protest at the Capitol, and there's some really cool stuff that's coming up kind of telling us what a good way to protest is. And it's June 14th. The world is protesting no kings in the U.S. 50 states in Puerto Rico, Colombia, Germany, Italy, Portugal, United Kingdom, and Canada, and France are all joining us in this No Kings ceremony. And we're really excited. And Wendy and I, we're going to be going there. But there's some things that we have to be aware of and talk about beforehand, Wen.
Yeah, there are. So there are Know Your Protest Rights, right? So there's a whole list. There's six items. We should get through them pretty quick here because we don't have a lot of time. But number one.
ACLU's brought that out.
Yeah. So that's it's the legit. Real deal. Yep. Know your rights. So number one, you don't need a permit to protest in response to breaking news, and you don't need a permit to march in the streets or along sidewalks, as long as you're not obstructing traffic or access to buildings.
Yeah.
So that's simple. Do that, right? Number two, when you are lawfully present in a public space, you have the right to photograph anything in plain view, including federal buildings and the police.
I wanted to say that with you. And the police.
Ice. Yes. Number three, if you believe your rights have been violated, when you can, write down everything you remember, get contact information for witnesses, and take photographs of any injuries.
Yeah, definitely. With those rubber bullets, I saw in Los Angeles, a ICE agent just directly shooting a reporter from Australia in the leg, and you can see it on video. she wasn't doing anything. She was walking away after a report, and you just saw him kind of turn up there and shoot her right in the leg.
And I saw her leg on, she posted a picture of her leg. It's horrific. The bruise that she got from that bullet. Okay. Number four, if you get stopped by the police, ask if you're free to go. If they say yes, calmly walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So they have to have due cause and all that. So that's a good one to remember.
Exactly. Number five, if you get arrested, you have a right to ask why. Otherwise, say you wish to remain silent and ask for a lawyer immediately. Don't sign anything or agree to anything without a lawyer present.
Absolutely. We should really bring that one up again. But yeah, that's because people get lulled into the Mr. Nice Guy, and next thing you know, you're in the back of a squad car handcuffed, and you've said things that might incriminate you.
Exactly. Okay, the last one. If you get stopped by a member of the military or any law enforcement officer at a protest, you have the right to remain silent or to tell them that you'll only answer questions in the presence of an attorney, no matter your citizenship or immigration status.
And that's really important because, you know, our relatives from the South that are part of this, been part of this continent for 10,000 years, have to know that they have a right. It's really sad, Wendy, too, because I think a lot of people are afraid because of what's happening. Mm-hmm. But you have to stand up to bullies, and
exactly,
you really have to. And they back down. And there's things going on nationally now that people are standing up and people are resisting.
Yeah. So also, what's going to happen tomorrow is the military parade, right, in Washington, D.C.
Trump's birthday.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it's really, really, really bad weather for him. But anyway, I just read some numbers, which is really unbelievable, that it's costing
$94 million, right?
Okay, right. So but let's break it down, though. It's costing $45 million for the parade. Then after the parade and after everybody's gone, it's going to cost $16 million to repair the roads that are going to be damaged from these heavy, heavy, you know, tanks that are going to be driving down the streets, the garbage, you know, whatever they have to do. $16 million, and then $45 million for the, and then I'm sure there's going to be more money for, you know, just paying overtime for the police and, you know, whatever, what have you. But there were also some stations that said they were not going to air
networks.
Networks. They were not going to air the president's parade, and they were going to put on sports. Play sports.
Normal stuff that they normally would.
Exactly.
And it's interesting because ABC has bowed down to the Trump administration so many times. Hey, from the Facebook page, Eat the Rich, which I always like to check in on, it says, look at the resources they're willing to commit to terrorize people, but not feed or house people.
That's right.
And that's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
It really is. And there, I wish I had time to watch it. I didn't, but there was a... can't remember. I guess he's like maybe the chief of police down in Florida. And he was talking about how he's going to be like really strongly arresting people at protests. But we have to remember those six rules.
Right.
And that we have a right to protest. And that's what we're going to do. So the last protest I went to has been a while. The last one I went to was when they, 2016, when they were banning all the abortions, right?
And that was 2000. That was just recently, wasn't it?
Okay, tell me when.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It might have been. Anyway, yeah. I did a sign, right, that said never again with a hanger with blood on it because they were banning abortions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna wipe that out, and then I'm gonna paint a new protest sign.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about what I'm going to put on.
It'll be good. I know. One thing I wanted to bring up too, Wendy, before our segment ends, is that if you're around bad actors and they're raising heck, like, you know, during George Floyd, we had all these people from the Bad Boys come into the cities and burn our Minneapolis down. and you are to sit down and immediately sit down. So if there's 100 people and there's 10 people raising heck, sit down and the 10 people will be outed. And, you know, we might have to wear rubber pants tomorrow if we have to sit down quick because of the rain.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But that makes sense, pants, right?
But yeah. Yeah, exactly. When all hell is breaking loose, you sit down because you're not, you know, doing anything wrong. You're peacefully protesting. Just sit down, and the ones that are being crazy will show their faces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you get that little video camera out there and show them. Hey, Wendy, we got State Senator Mary Kunish up there, and we got a lot of things coming up, especially after to talk about after the session ended. And there's a lot of sadness, I know, from the BIPOC people with our with our relatives that are going to be taking off health care. So yeah, we have a lot to talk about with State Senator.
Sure.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. This is the Friday edition.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Minnesota needs diverse teachers who represent our students and communities. Explore teaching degree options at Metro State University's Urban Education Info Session in person at the Minneapolis campus on June 24th. Metro State's programs offer pathways to bachelor's degrees designed for those committed to serving urban communities. Visit campus, get an overview of teaching programs, and meet with an advisor. Sign up at metrostate.edu/urban-teacher-program. Become a teacher. Shape the future. Metro State University.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th, this exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we are always blessed to have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and I know the session ended just recently, and I'd love to hear what your take is on it. Welcome, State Senator.
Well, hamatakiape, everybody. It's good to be here with you, Robert. We did finally end our legislative session in a one-day marathon this past Monday had us covering like 14 bills between the hours of, I think we started at 11 in the morning, and the Senate ended at about 1:30 Tuesday morning. And so there was a lot to get through. It was pretty amazing. Yeah. I was so glad that we were finally able to end the session.
Right.
Because it was There was a lot hanging out there, and we had to, I mean, we literally had to do that in order to keep our, to keep the doors open on the state government, and to prevent any kind of a shutdown. So it was again, pretty amazing.
Yeah, it totally was. And I know there was a lot of naysayers out there in the press that didn't think this was going to happen. And, I don't know about surprisingly, but it did happen. And that's kudos on you and the people you work with.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. We, you know, in Minnesota, we weren't able to finish and come to agreements in a lot of the different committees in time when by the time that we should have recessed or adjourned. So we did end up just recessing, not adjourn. And then spent close to 2 weeks negotiating a lot of the bills that still hadn't been completed. And it was a lot of work. It was really exhausting work for many, and I have to call out our leadership in the House and the Senate, our DFL Democrat leadership. Aaron Murphy worked tirelessly, and it wasn't just negotiating with, you know, like the GOP members, but because the House is a tied body, it's negotiating with Democrats and Republicans in the House, and then coming back and working with our Senate members. And, you know, we don't all think alike. I know people think we often just vote party line without thinking about what we're doing, but that really isn't the case at all. We have folks that feel really strongly in different ways on different subjects. And so we find ourselves, you know, working with each other in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, we're trying to convince each other that our bill needs their vote. And because our Senate has just a one person majority, unless we know that our Republicans are going to vote for our bill, you know, or even if they say they will, you know, we can't always count on that really happening. And so we have to make sure that we have all of us together. But we had to pass our HHS budget bill, Health and Human Services. Yeah. We had the Commerce bill to get passed. Our transportation bill was, you know, there were some real sticking points in there. Senator Hoffman's human service target budget bill had to get done. My K-12 education budget bill, got it passed.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't get everything I wanted in there. I had to give up a lot. It was a really tough one, but I did get the funding for our 4 BIE schools. I did pass a more doable mascot bill in there.
Yeah.
We opened up tribal schools can now apply for grants and other programs, board of programs that they had that every other school district would have been able to do. So now tribal schools can apply to those as well as any of our charter schools. So that was some really good stuff.
Yeah.
We had a huge discussion about data centers. There are a lot of them coming to Minnesota or are here already. And, you know, they've come in very kind of quietly that most Minnesotans don't recognize that there are so many here. And the fact that some of the really large data centers are vying to come to Minnesota, which, you know, on the one hand sounds really great because with that comes jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're the DFL, the Democrat Farmer Labor Party.
Right.
And so labor is, you know, a really big part of our focus.
Mm-hmm.
And they promised to bring, you know, provide thousands of jobs, which we want and right. we need. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, how much are we willing to sacrifice the environmental issues that come with that? Because data centers take a lot of energy.
Right.
And so if we're trying to reduce our footprint, our carbon footprint and come up with a green plan, I don't know that that's the best way to do it. Plus, they take a lot of water.
Yeah.
I mean, really suck up a lot of water. And if it's one thing we're proud of here in Minnesota, in the land of 10,000 plus lakes,
right.
Is our water. I mean, that is one of our, you know, the things that we're most prideful and we value. And I don't think, you know, I've researched the amount of water it takes.
Right.
We don't know the long-term effects.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
you know, very much so that communities might make agreements and then realize their aquifers are being depleted.
Exactly.
Or there's a low-level sound that's emitted from the building, and mm-hmm. they've, you know, in some communities they've put them near residential areas, and now the residents are like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
You know, so there's a lot to consider, and so we've just begun working on regulating data centers and how we can best make sure that we're doing what we need to do to support labor and to provide these data centers, because as we all use AI,
right.
Artificial intelligence more and more, not mm-hmm. A1,
yeah.
as the director of education at the federal level was referring to it.
Oh my God.
But so that was a really big conversation, and mm-hmm. that was a tough conversation. And at the end of the day, many, many, I think if not all of these data centers are receiving very juicy tax breaks.
Oh boy.
You know, they don't pay property tax or different taxes. And at a time when, you know, Minnesota and so many other states are feeling the crunch, when we give these big tax breaks to, you know, companies that can easily afford to pay these taxes,
boy.
But they don't. I think Senator McQuaid pointed out that the amount of tax for one of these data centers would be enough to totally 100% support special education in Minnesota.
Oh my gosh. So that's yeah. kind of dark, because I know not only that Bitcoin has these data centers, and are we going to see any of that? And if we're not taxing them, what are we getting out of it other than maybe limited non-union jobs?
Right. Well, they promised lots of good labor jobs. There was, they did agree to prevailing wages, which means that when they are employing and hiring, that they use the going rate, the going wages that are established in our state, so they can't undercut. But there's much more work to be done around that, and we had. That was a really tough vote for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It was a tough one. And then we had our taxes. Oh, did you have one more thing to say about that?
Yeah, sorry. It's up and coming here. And I think the things that you brought up about the water, the energy, and how much it takes, that's pretty mind-blowing, too. And I know it's up and coming, and we had, you know, Bob Blake on yesterday, and he was just saying how in 5 years our energy rate's going to double because of these places, and where are we going to get that? And if we're not getting any help with renewables, whether it's, you know, solar panels or wind farms, we're in deep.
Tom Harbin here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Iran hits back.
Striking targets in Tel Aviv after Israel's massive air attack on nuclear and military targets in Iran. At the United Nations, Israeli Ambassador Danny Dannon.
We will not relent, and we will not allow a genocidal regime to endanger our people.
A sharp rebuke from Iran's ambassador to the UN, Amir Saeed.
These atrocities constitute clear act of state terrorism and flagrant violation of international law.
A federal judge is deciding Columbia University pro-Palestinian activist Mahmoud Khalil will not be released from government custody as he faces accusations that he misrepresented information on his green card application. Demonstrators expected to take to the streets across America tomorrow for so-called No Kings protests against President Trump's ICE raids. It's happening as the president presides over a military parade in Washington, D.C. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
That's a wrap on minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Packers completed their three-day minicamp. Linebacker Quay Walker unable to practice. He suffered an ankle injury at the end of last season. Matt LaFleur presenting Mark Murphy, an autographed helmet signed by all the players. Murphy stepping down after 17 years as team president. The NBA Finals continue tonight. The Pacers up 2-1 over the Thunder, led by Tyrese Halliburton.
Experience is the best way that I can learn from it. You know, taking what the defense gives me, trying to play the right way, and watch film, see where I can get better and be ready to go for game four.
Baseball, Brewers and Cardinals tonight in Milwaukee. The crew winning 6-0 last night in the series opener, but pitcher Aaron Civale, not happy about being moved to the bullpen, says he called his agent about being traded.
We're exploring opportunities for me to get back into a rotation, whether that's here or elsewhere. That'll give me the chance to do what I do best, and that's go out there and start. Like I said, I still feel like I have a lot to give.
That's Aaron Civale with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Ted Lasso star Jason Sudeikis learned a lot from his uncle, George Wendt. On a recent episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast, actor, writer, producer Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, told Ted Danson that Sudeikis found out about his uncle's death while in the writer's room at Ted Lasso, then added that they matched tears with laughter by watching compilations of George Wendt as Norm. Orlando Bloom is alive and well after his surgery. No reason to panic, Bloom fans. The actor had elective surgery, which was a blood filtering procedure to remove microplastics or forever chemicals from his blood. The procedure is only available at one clinic in London, according to Collider. If you're thinking about checking out this procedure, just know that it costs 10 grand. Let's be honest, most of us will just have to cross our fingers and hope that having Tupperware in our blood isn't as bad as experts say. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray shower, and a low in the mid-50s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, warmer, highs upper 70s to around 80 with a slight chance of storms. And isolated storms possible Sunday, high 80 to the low 80s. Currently, it's 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and here we are with State Senator Mary Kunish, who must be totally exhausted. And good on you and the people you work with, because I saw, you know, the media here in the Twin Cities was saying there's no way that you guys are going to get this done, and you got it done. So big kudos to you and your workers, but you must be exhausted.
I am. I have to tell you, we had that special session on Monday. As I said, started at 11 in the morning, went till 1:30. But, you know, it's not just that that was a long day. The weeks following up to it were exhausting as well as we negotiated our bills. You know, I had the education K-12 bill that, in spite of, you know, not having everything I wanted, and I had to make concessions. The biggest one was around special education, but, it takes a toll on a person. You don't know how you're just going until you're not. And then you just kind of like, whoa, it hits you like a ton of bricks. And, you know, I'm not a spring chicken. So, it's taking me a few days here to catch up. Like Tuesday, I probably slept most of the day and was totally low energy. And then yesterday even, I did get out and about and do a few things, but I was in bed as soon as I could. And today it's overcast here in Minnesota and rainy now. So It's just the sort of day, low energy and kind of want to crawl back in bed again.
Yeah, we have that air quality too is not good today either, and so That's part of, at least takes my superpowers down as a older person, is like, why am I so tired and why am I coughing? It's like, oh, the air. Well,
yeah,
I'd like to talk a little bit about this, and I know by looking at social media and the news that this was not only a hard session, but hard votes were happening. And the health care for our undocumented relatives, talk us through that a little bit. I know, this was really, really difficult.
That was perhaps the hardest, most painful vote I have experienced in my 9 years as a state legislator. Even as we speak now, I get really emotional about this, the fact that, that our Republicans, this was their number one goal, for the session. So Minnesota had agreed, 2 years ago to provide health care for undocumented relatives. And as we know, the vast majority of these undocumented persons are working in some of the most unglamorous jobs, you know, in our packing houses, right, in our agriculture,
roofing.
Oftentimes they're in our nursing homes. They're in the back of kitchens and doing the work that nobody else will do. And when Americans say, oh, they're stealing all our jobs, none of them will take those jobs, which is why those people are here trying to build a good life for themselves. Like, all of our ancestors, our non-Indigenous ancestors, did. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that we had to roll back health care for undocumented adults. This, as I said, was a priority for our Republican counterparts, though there were a few of our Democratic members in the Senate that did vote for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one concession is that the undocumented children will still be eligible for Minnesota care.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really important. And when this all came up, I'm talking about the Posse Caucus in Minnesota,
right,
people of color, Indigenous, those are all of our legislators of color, of which I am one,
mm-hmm,
tried to negotiate that the elders and those with life-threatening health issues like cancer or diabetes or some of those sort of things would continue. I mean, for humanitarian reasons, right?
Right.
Would be able to continue to do that. But the Republicans absolutely said no. And, you know, they threatened they wouldn't sign anything. They wouldn't come to a special session with, you know, with that threat of government shutdown. And it really forced us Democrats to do something that, you know, we are morally against in so many ways. And it's crazy because they, you know, the Republicans will say this is, they're stealing millions of thousands of billions of dollars from mm-hmm. our taxpayers, but it's really only $57 million in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the big picture, that's chump change. So $57 million over the next 2 years. And we're going to have to cut about $283 million in order to reduce the deficit. So that isn't going to make that much difference. And really at the end of the day, the Republicans just wanted to make sure that about 17,000 people
mm-hmm.
are without health care. And as Senator Elise Mann, you know, so she's just so passionate. And when she speaks, she's a doctor herself, emergency mm-hmm. room doctor. She's mm-hmm. like, 17,000 people are being left out to die.
Right.
Because we worsen our healthcare system and we decrease our tax revenue. And these are people that at the end of the day, hopefully will go to the emergency room for when they have healthcare needs.
Right.
But emergency care is not healthcare. And that just cost more and more and more. And so that was a really, really, really hard. And we didn't, you know, the Posse Caucus didn't know that was going to be coming, you know, in this session, and here it was. And we tried to cap undocumented enroll. We tried to raise premiums, you know, allowing those children who are already enrolled to retain it instead of aging out, make exceptions for elderly people or those with chronic conditions. But at the end of the day, you know, none of those things were accepted by it. And the amendment to, you know, cut those people out, went through, and it's a heartbreak. It's really, yeah. really a heartbreak. And, you know, by calculations of some of those people, they're estimating that it's actually going to cost $3 billion over the next decade.
Well, that's what
so that's not saving us any money.
Right. And it's more of a racist move, and their constituents want this, and, it's not saving money, and that's what the Republicans keep on saying. And I'm just going, well, aren't they paying into it? I mean, they're working,
yeah.
and, you know.
Yep.
It,
yep.
Yeah, so I saw some of the posts from the posse, and I really saw you in there, and I just really felt bad because this is going to bite us in the next couple of years. And that's just another thing that we're going to have to really rev up here, especially with what's going on federally with Trump and him wanting to take over state, you know, National Guards and bring the Marines in, and you can't protest against him. This mm-hmm. is a big setup now for 2026 and martial law and all those things. So we have to stay really vigilant and talk our truth like you are every week here on Native Roots Radio.
Thanks. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, we did pass some really good stuff. It kind of drowns out, you know, with something like that. But, you know, we were able to address affordable housing, some public safety. Of course, we balanced the budget for the next 2 years. Next year will be considered a policy year, but that doesn't mean there won't be a supplemental budget. You know, there should be some money generated by taxes that we might be able to use. I think it's great for, you know, as the economy starts to flounder more and more. Mm-hmm. I'm really concerned about housing and housing safety.
Right.
And especially for our elderly, like if they actually do anything around Medicaid and Social Security, those are the two largest items that most elderly people, you know, number one, they depend on that Social Security, and they depend on that Medicaid for their health care.
Right.
If those things go away, whatever very fixed incomes these people are on are going to be gone. And I'm so worried that we'll find more and more elderly folks with unstable housing or no housing and no health care. And, you know, that is going to be a huge burden, expense on our public public dollars, and we should be taking care of them. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying I won't do that.
Right.
But the reality is really so. We did pass some emergency rental assistance and housing infrastructure bonds to build more affordable homes. We had that big Feeding Your Future kerfuffle a couple years ago with the COVID dollars. So we created an office of the Inspector General who will, you know, have oversight of the public dollars and looking for those kind of scams and things like that. We did put more money into funding for roads and bridges. And of course, Minnesota is in our our road construction season everywhere you go. Jeez. But we were able to get that. Of course, we got our 2-year budget for education done. Mm-hmm. One thing, you know, we might notice that more and more like small local pharmacies are closing, especially in rural Minnesota, which is really sad. And so we were able to put some support for those small local pharmacies through medical assistance. We made some changes to the physician assistant licensure so that PAs can that are trained in other states can move to Minnesota and start practicing. So there were some, you know, there were good things, but
And the paraprofessional, that's awesome too.
Yep.
The unemployment for them.
We continue that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, State Senator Mary Kunish, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for doing all this work for the community and for everyone across Minnesota. I really appreciate you stopping in and letting everyone know what's going on.
You bet.
Hey, thank you. Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back after this short break.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, Discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I had to play that, Wendy, for old time's sake.
I love that.
Our first listeners.
Definitely. We need to give a shout out to Tiergan and Hadley. Absolutely. And in this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Let's say no to the hunts.
No.
Oh.
Hey, welcome, Wendy. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she's co-founder of Native Roots Radio and Pilots Progressive Party, and always great to have you on and talking about our sacred animals, our relatives.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for Humane World for Animals, and they are formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, now called Humane World for Animals. And I'm called a policy volunteer because that's what I do. I work on policies. And it's so funny, you know, they did change their name, and I don't know their reasoning behind their name change, but I'm happy that they did change the name from the Humane Society of the United States to Humane World for Animals, just because, you know, people would ask me, Wendy, so, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing in your retirement? You know, this and that. And I would say, you know, I'm a volunteer for the Humane Society of the United States. And the first question I would get would be like, do you have any small dogs that are like 10 pounds? And, you know, you know, so like, you know, because humane societies throughout the whole United States are called, like, you know, the Humane Society of Oakdale, Minnesota, or, you know, so people would just assume that, you know, I am a volunteer and I walk dogs and stuff, but no, we work on policy. We work on, you know, passing bills and laws to help protect our animals, all animals in our state. So that's what I do. And I like to talk about animals. So, and Humane World for Animals is a great organization, and they have like a new video out. So if you want to go on and watch it, it's really fantastic. But a couple of things today. So just listen to this statistic, Robert. Yeah. One poisoned rodent can wipe out an entire nest of owlets.
Wow.
The cost of the convenience is an empty sky. Yeah. So if you're poisoning rodents and the mother owl comes and grabs the whatever it is, mm-hmm. a rat or a mole or whatever it is, you know, and it's feeding it to its young, that poison can kill them immediately. So we don't want to do that.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I didn't know this, but, you know, service dogs, we were talking about service dogs mm-hmm. the last couple of days, but somebody posted, I honestly didn't know that when I was supposed to follow a service dog in a vest, if it approached me by itself.
Oh,
yes. So if a service dog without a person approaches you, it means the person is down or needs help or something's going on. So you should follow that dog.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
that makes sense. Yeah. Right. When you brought that up.
It was funny. I was just talking about, remember I was talking about the, there was groundbreaking study from Sweden's university about how, certain dogs have more receptors in their bodies for oxytocin. And I didn't really explain it very well because somebody asked me about it. So I just want to go back and talk about that for a minute. So oxytocin is a hormone that we have in our bodies too. So like it's called the love hormone.
And you have a tattoo, don't you?
that I do have a tattoo, but it's not oxytocin.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's, you know what it is?
It's a love thing, right?
Well, it's a chemical structure.
Yeah, chocolate.
And it's called, yep, phenethylamine or phenylethylamine. You could call it either way. And that is a compound found in chocolate. So like when you eat chocolate, it kind of gives you the same feeling like as you were falling in love. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have that tattoo. Aww. Yeah, that was kind of a story when I was in pharmacy school. And like, you know, one of our friends would go out on a date with somebody and then we would see our friend the next day and we'd ask our friend, so was it phenylethylamine? You know,
oh, so funny.
You know, what did you fall in love or was it, you know, just, you know, so that we would say, yeah, it was phenylethylamine or, you know, it was just like a pharmacy. Nerdy pharmacy students talking.
Jeez.
But anyway, so I wanted to explain what oxytocin was because my friend was like, yeah, you just kind of said oxytocin, but I didn't even know what oxytocin was. So oxytocin is a hormone in our bodies. We have it. A lot of animals have it. And like when a female woman gives birth to her child, the oxytocin is like really comes out and it helps her bond with her child. So animals have that too. Yeah. Animals have that too. And there's a study that, the Swedish university said that certain breeds have more of those oxytocin receptors. So those dogs are able to bond faster and become closer to the people they live with than other dogs. You know, like a golden retriever, you know, or like our little Shih Tzu Wanda here has more receptors than maybe a dog that's bred for working or herding or something like that. Mm-hmm. Right. So.
Oh,
yeah, and dogs have evolved over years and thousands of years from the wolf to develop more oxytocin in their bodies so that, you know, they could bond with us and become our companions. Yeah,
uh-uh.
That's right. I know. 4th of July, please, everybody, get tags on your dogs. Keep your dogs inside. The most dogs get lost during the 4th of July, number one. I'm calling our vet. I'm going to find a new vet because I'm not really happy with the vet I have right now. And bring Wanda in. She's been coughing and coughing and coughing. And they think that she has a collapsed trachea. And apparently this is really common in the small dog breeds and especially dogs that have like the smushed in noses.
Mm-hmm.
And what a collapsed trachea does is it causes her to like, it sounds like she's gasping a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she's like clearing her throat and like choking.
Mm-hmm.
And she even kind of makes like a honking song, a sound mm-hmm. like a goose. And I feel like, you know, it's annoying to us, right? I mean, it drives us crazy but it's horrible for her because mm-hmm. I could tell like she's like looking at me as she's coughing and she's like, what's going on? And then sometimes if she has a bad, like I'll call it an attack, she just seems scared, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that she runs to her bed and looks towards the wall, which is really weird.
I don't know what's going on. So, I mean, she is getting older and it's, you know, I see like little subtle changes in her. So we have a call in. First I called my friend who recommended this veterinarian, which I'm really happy, and it's a group, so I don't know if she uses a particular vet in this group or if all of them she's satisfied with. So I'm just waiting for her to call me back, and then I'll bring Wanda in to get just a second opinion to see if there's anything else we can do for her. So,
yeah. Prayers up.
I know, really.
Hey, we'll see everybody tomorrow at protests. And I know there's local ones, so check that out too. Mm-hmm. I know there's one in Highlandville. There's two.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nutritionist and dietitian from Weightless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then Phil Krause, owner of the Time Community Theater in Oshkosh, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Feeling stressed, frustrated, ready to break something? Come to Crashbox Therapy, Madison's newest therapy experience. Throw some plates, hammer a toaster, smash your stress away, and feel the relief. You worked all week, you deserve a break. Literally. Great for corporate events, holiday get-togethers, or any day ending in Y. Book your session now at CrashboxTherapy.com. 319 Beltline Highway, right next to Pitcher's Pub. Crashbox Therapy. Come let it all out safely, loudly, and guilt-free. Make your appointment at CrashboxTherapy.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. Iran today firing missiles at Israel in retaliation for the severe blow it suffered during Israel's targeted attack. At least seven top Iranian officials killed, its nuclear facilities crippled. ABC foreign correspondent Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv says the Trump administration is claiming it's been hands off.
Soon after the attack began, the administration insisting Israel acted on its own. Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying, quote, "We are not involved in strikes against Iran," warning Iran should not target U.S. interests or personnel. Iran's response underway. As Iranian missiles fall, the Israeli Defense Force posting all of Israel is under fire.
In the nation's capital tomorrow, the Army's 250th anniversary parade, which coincides with President Trump's 79th birthday, there'll be so-called no